From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into Inside the Parker. Coming up on the podcast, we'll talk with Phillies outfielder Andrew McCutchen, plus we'll talk with Reds Hall of Fame legendary broadcaster Marty Brenneman, that and so much more. Let's go.
Batter up.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Justin Verlander is historic. We already know the career he's had so far. He's won a Cy Young Award, was Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player, won a World Series title, and he's probably headed to the Hall of Fame with the career he's had so far. But this past week, Justin Verlander passed Cy Young and moved into 21st place on the all-time strikeout list with 2,807. Do you hear what I said? He passed Cy Young. He passed the guy that the greatest pitching award is named after. What a career Justin Verlander is having. There was a point in Detroit when I thought his career was down the tubes, going nowhere fast. He has turned it around in Houston. Justin Verlander is on his way to Cooperstown.
Number two.
Say it isn't so, Tom Brady. The Patriots quarterback has the nerve to try to take one of the most iconic trademark names of a player ever. That's right. It has been revealed that Tom Brady has sought the trademark to Tom Terrific. Anybody who's a baseball fan and anybody who grew up in New York and anybody who loved the New York Mets knows that that name belongs to Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Seaver. Yet Tom Brady's trying to weasel in on it to cash out on the moniker Tom Terrific. In addition, Tom Brady's also trying to coin Touchdown Tom, the Comeback Kid, all kinds of things. Tom, you can have them all, but Tom, you cannot, N-O-T, have Tom Terrific.
Number three.
Pete Rose was one of the greatest hitters that baseball has ever seen, the all-time hit king, but he just can't get out of his own way. In his new book, Playing Hungry, The Making of a Baseball Player, Pete talks about the gambling that was a part of his career, which, of course, led to his banishment from baseball. Pete, give it a rest. What are you doing? Why do you continue to do this to yourself? You belonged in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Had you come clean, admitted to your mistake, you would probably be in the Baseball Hall of Fame right now. Pete, stop hurting yourself. Stop writing about gambling and baseball. And here's a bonus item.
Number four.
Unfortunately, in baseball, we saw a young girl hit by a baseball in the stands at the Cubs game. Terrible. I'm all about safety when it comes to baseball, but I must admit, watching a game through a net isn't what I would like to do. There's talk that maybe they might run the baseball netting all around the stadium. I would rather sit in the outfield or up top. I don't want to have my view obstructed, but I do understand about safety. This is something that's going to have to be worked out.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
News Tuesday came out that Phillies outfielder Andrew McCutchen will be out for the rest of the year. He has a torn left ACL, but I did catch up to him earlier in the week, and we talked about the Phillies' chances in the postseason and about his career. How about this team, joining this team and the moves that they made? They were already pretty good last year. Didn't make the playoffs, but they had a close try at it.
What about coming here, you, Bryce Harper, some other trades that they made? How did you feel with the way they put the roster together?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, this was a team last year that was in first place in the second, going into the second half of the season. So and that's without all the acquisitions that they made. And so I knew, like, coming here that this team was going to be better with all of us, with the added on guys, that we're going to be an even better ball club. So that was the exciting part. And that was my mindset going into it, was because at the time that I signed, we had picked up Segura, and then I signed and went and came along, and then Dave Robertson, JT, and then Bryce. So I just knew if there was anybody, any added pieces, extra guys, it's just going to make the team even better. And, yeah, we did that, and, you know, it made going in spring, it was very exciting spring because of all of it. And, I was excited about that, just being on a team that the expectation was high. It wasn't like the expectation was a question mark. It was more of a high expectation and knowing that this team could win ball games. And, So it made everything very exciting, and I was looking forward to just going out there and performing.
It looked like it was hit and miss with Bryce Harper, and then all of a sudden, boom, it happens. When that does happen, what does that say to you as a player, as far as the commitment from ownership? And, you know, immediately you guys are going to be the team chased, not chasing. You know what I mean? You immediately put you in that position.
Yeah, well, you know, the show's ownership, they want to win, and it shows that's what matters to them, is putting a team out there that they want to win and build a winning team, a winning culture, and bringing that back here in Philadelphia. That's what comes of it. And you just want to go out there and do your part as a player, and just meet those expectations and win and play well, and let the ownership know that, you know, they didn't do this. They didn't sign me to, you know, for no reason, and it wasn't a failure. That, you know, that I'm playing the way that I'm supposed to be, and it makes you feel good about yourself when you go out there and you perform the way that you know that you can.
Well, you played in a couple of great baseball towns, obviously Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, San Francisco, New York. Just tell me about, like, San Francisco. You talked about Philly and Pittsburgh, but playing in San Francisco, what that was like, and then playing with the Yankees, what was that like?
You know, every culture is different. The atmospheres, you know, with where you are, just trying to, you know, get acclimated with your surroundings. You know, it can be an adjustment. Going to San Francisco was an adjustment because the first time I ever got traded, I didn't know anything different other than wearing black and yellow. So for me, I had that to deal with on top of having and starting a family, having a brand new son, like, you know, and being in the middle of being traded, going from where my family being from and on the East Coast, and moving to the West Coast and adjusting to that in itself was an adjustment. And on top of that, now I gotta play baseball, so you know,
mix that in.
Yeah, so that was quite the adjustment for me and my family. You know, putting that aside, being on a team full of some great guys, a great manager in Bochy, it was yeah, I mean, these guys knowing how to win, knowing the history there, that was recent history and not something that was years ago. It was great. I got to understand kind of that culture of this is kind of how we do things. And, you know, it was good to be around that, and being around guys like, you know, I never played on the team prior to that, where I was on a team with another MVP or, you know, or anything like that. So it was great being there with Posey, being there with Longoria and Crawford, all these guys with gold gloves and all-stars, silver sluggers. It was amazing just to be around that group of guys and playing the game. So, it was nice there. Then going over to the Yankees, of course, was definitely a place that I never thought I would be. And just being in that just that organization was, you feel it right away, man. You feel it right when you step in that locker room, right when you put that uniform on, man. You feel like you're, you know, just it's just the upper class of baseball.
People say that, I hear players say it all the time, like the pinstripes, you come in, it's just different.
Yeah, it's the reputation. You know, you got an organization that's won 27 World Series. You're going to have that reputation. And, you know, and being on a team like that with guys who can mash, you know, and Judge and Stanton and Void and Sanchez and then the younger guys and Torres and, you know, just and Andujar, like, you know, just going up and down that lineup with talented guys and being a part of that team and playing with guys like CeCe Sabathia, who has 2,000 wins, you know, it's it was a great experience for me playing there and just feeling like I was a part of that team right away and just meshing with those guys right away, even though I was only there for a month. So I enjoyed that there, and I just think all of that was just preparing me for what was coming next and being here and signing with the Phillies, and now I feel like I'm at a good place with this team.
And do you expect to be in the World Series come October? I mean, you guys have enough here?
Yeah, that's the expectation. The expectation is to win. And that's to win the World Series, not just being there. You know, that's my expectation. And if that's not our expectation at all, then why are we playing? So, you know, that's what we work for. That's what we go for every time we go out there and step on the field. And we know the only way we can do that is by winning and by winning the day. And we just got to take it day by day. And we're just going to keep continuing to do that. And hopefully I'll be able to look back, you know, holding some champagne and a cigar and just celebrating with my guys here. And yeah, man, I'm just looking forward to it, but just got to take care of business today.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. Anthony, the Major League Baseball draft was Monday. Give me something on the first overall pick.
Well, Rob, it was no surprise on Monday when the Orioles took Oregon State catcher Adley Rutschman with the number one overall pick. The switch-hitting Rutschman, a huge part of OSU's national title team last year, when he hit .408 with 9 homers and an OPS over 1,100. This season, he was even better, hitting .427 with 16 homers, an NCAA leading .584 on base percentage, and an OPS over 1,300. He also drew 25 more walks than strikeouts. This is a kid who, last week in OSU's regional game against Cincinnati, was intentionally walked with the bases loaded in the 7th inning of the game. Truly a Bonzian feat. Now, since this is a stat segment, let's look at ISO power. ISO is a measure of power and reads like batting average, though it's more telling how often a player hits for extra bases. Basically, take a player's slugging percentage and subtract his batting average. That's his ISO number. This season, Rutschman's ISO number was .345, a mark no catcher in a single season in MLB history has ever reached. The highest ever for a catcher was .299 by Brooklyn Dodgers catcher Roy Campanella during his MVP 1953 season. Now, Rutschman has an advanced profile at the plate. He's an elite defender behind it, and he'll be looked at as the first building block for Baltimore's future.
Finally, something I could use. There are reports out there that the Yankees could sign pitcher Dallas Keuchel. Would it be foul or fair, JR, to say they'd be the favorites if the Yankees land Keuchel?
Oh, that's definitely fair.
It's a fair ball.
Dodgers, look at it this way. The Dodgers, Tampa Bay Rays, Houston, they all have lower team ERAs than the Yankees. And eventually they're teams that the Yankees will have to contend with to win the World Series. They definitely need an upgrade. The Yankees are the fifth best rated staff, I believe, right now, even without Severino and numerous injuries throughout the roster. But getting a guy like Keuchel, he's a proven pitcher who can come through in money situations. He's not being asked to be the Yankees ace, but rather, you know, fit in, throw some ground balls in Yankee Stadium, win some big games. He's a deadly fourth starter, and he still has some ace stuff. Any one of these guys, Bumgarner, Scherzer, Keuchel. They can all be the difference for a Yankees team who finally has some, you know, balance in their lineup and a strong pen, but they've lacked what? A proven veteran arm in the playoffs. His arm should be fresh and ready to go and rounded into shape by the playoffs. The Yankees have made every right move this season. This would be one more winning maneuver.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week.
Number three.
Houston Astros. As of Tuesday, they come in at 41-20, and they have injuries, and they're struggling a little bit as far as keeping guys healthy, but not on the baseball diamond. They continue to win at an unbelievable clip. They remind me of the team that won the World Series a couple years ago.
Number two.
The New York freaking Yankees. I know I've been saying all year that they're the number one ranked team. They dropped down to number two. It has nothing to do with what they've done. They keep winning with all the guys still out, including Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. But the Yankees are number two.
Number one.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. They have reached the mountaintop, and they are the number one team in Major League Baseball, dethroning the New York Yankees, and they're doing it with their pitching since April 21st. They are first in ERA, first in win percentage, first in shutouts, first in whips, first in strikeouts to walk ratio. They are the best team in baseball.
Take out the papers in the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
Take out the papers.
And this week's winner is Bo Benson. He tweets this. People need to stop pretending like the Phillies are contenders this year. No pitching and a bunch of names that don't play like a team. If you want a chance to win a new era snapback like Bo, send your trash to @RobParkerFS1 on Twitter.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome in Marty Brenneman, the Hall of Fame voice of the Cincinnati Reds since 1974. This will be his last season, 46 years behind the mic in the Queen City. And Marty, welcome to the podcast.
Rob, I appreciate the invitation, son, and I'm happy to be with you.
I say this for a lot of people, not only in Cincinnati, but around baseball. Truly, you will be missed, one of the great voices in baseball. And Marty, as you wrap up this final year and season, what stands out in your career the most about doing this job?
Well, thanks. First, thanks for the nice words, Rob. You and I have been friends for a long, long time, so you're probably a little bit prejudiced to begin with.
A little bit, but you're good, man. You're great.
I don't know. That's a tough question. I think the thing that probably has the most impact is the fact that the 46 years have seemingly gone by in the bat of an eye. I sit down sometimes at home when I'm by myself and think about it. And realize that, you know, I came in with the big red machine, was on the verge of putting together back-to-back world championships, and then going to the 90 team, which had Barry Larkin and Eric Davis and that bunch, and nobody gave them a chance to win anything, and they win it all, and they sweep the A's under Tony La Russa, four straight to win it, and the great players, the Ken Griffey Juniors of the world and people like that. It's just gone by so quickly.
Couple things I want to touch on. You talked about the Big Red Machine. That's the last team in the National League to win back-to-back World Series. How special was that team?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Rob, that they beat the Red Sox in 75, and they sweep the Yankees in 76. And they were only years two and three for me. So I really had no means of comparison. As the years went by, and I started to gain a backlog of watching good teams and other cities play. And as the years go by, then I realized that I was truly a peripheral part of greatness.
You mentioned Pete Rose being one of your best friends. How sad is it for you to see what's going on? And he probably could have gotten out of this if he just owned up to it in the very beginning. Am I wrong there, Marty, or not?
No, I think, Rob, I think you're 100% right. If he'd have fessed up to all the evidence or allegations that they leveled against him, and he threw himself, quote-unquote, on the mercy of the court, I think him being in the Hall of Fame would be old news today. But he made a mistake. I mean, and I think many of the problems that Peach had to deal with have been mistakes that he's made on his own that created a bigger situation than it otherwise might have. And I think as he's gotten older, I believe probably that he has a better handle on where he would have changed history, so to speak, if he had the right to go back and do it all over again.
No doubt about it. You talked about the 1990 Reds. Controversial owner Marge Schott. Just give me a word, Marty, to describe. What would you say? Was she misguided? Was she put a word on her tenure as owner of the Reds?
Well, it's tough. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about her personally because she treated me well. She stayed out of my radio booth. I was critical at times of her. Publicly critical, and rarely, if ever, did I ever hear anything from her. I think misguided is a better term than misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was raised, and I'm not apologizing for her, but I'll be dead honest with you. My mom and dad were raised in the same era, and it was not unusual for my dad to use the N-word. I was brought up in Virginia. And you know, as I grew, I lived with that. But then as I got older and I started having kids, and I just had to tell him, we don't say that around here. And he heeded to that. And so I think in a lot of cases, Marge was the same way. I know I've talked to African-American people who worked for her, and they thought she hung the moon because mm-hmm. she treated them so well. But it was what it was, and she wasn't smart enough to realize it. You couldn't say those things, and she paid the ultimate price because she didn't heed the advice of people who were thinking nothing but the best for her by just telling her to keep quiet, and she couldn't do it.
His name is Marty Brenneman, Hall of Fame baseball announcer for the Cincinnati Reds, a guy I'm proud to call a friend. And Marty, you will be missed. Thank you so much.
Rob, my pleasure, pal. Like I said, you and I go back a long way, and I have a great affection for you.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
You already know how I feel. Let's hear from former Major League outfielder Ron Swoboda why Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and NFL.
Well, I'm naturally biased on the subject. I just think more people can physically relate to baseball. More people have played it and in one form or another. And I just like the idea that a baseball game is determined by what you do on the field and not by some clock running out on you. I think that's one of the most endearing qualities to baseball. You win it or you lose it out there, and it ain't over till it's over. I hope Yogi doesn't mind me borrowing his line.
His name is Ron Swoboda. His book is Here's the Catch, a memoir of the Miracle Mets and more. And Ron, where can people get your book?
You can order it, pre-ordering now on Amazon. It hits the bookshops on June 11th, and it's so. I have my hands on one copy of it, but the bookstores won't get it until June 11th. So I'm pretty excited about the whole process. Only take you about 7 trips to the John, I think.
Thanks for joining us, Rob Parker. Out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.